Well, the SSPX has just been excommunicated by the Pope, by the Vatican. They just released an official decree and also an explanatory note explaining it. And I'm going to go over that with you. We have been covering this situation with the SSPX for years now, and this effectively kind of puts an end to that conversation. There has been a lot of debate on, especially under the pontificate of Pope Francis. Under his pontificate, there has been a lot of conversation on whether or not the SSPX is in schism, especially because of certain moves that the Pope made on confessions and marriages for the SSPX. And there was also a lot of discussion and hope that there was going to be a full reconciliation between the Vatican and the SSPX. That fell apart. Cardinal Mueller for the Vatican told them, look, you have to accept Vatican II and a few other conditions. And they came back and said, no, we can't do that. That's a deal breaker. And that was pretty much the end of it. And now the SSPX has chosen to go through with consecrations without papal approbation. And from the Vatican perspective, from the papacy's perspective, this is a schismatic act, and there's an automatic excommunication for anyone who does this. And so that happened yesterday. They went through with consecrations without a papal mandate. And so from Rome's perspective, they're excommunicated. They're in schism. They came out with this official decree, publicly letting everyone know it. Of course, the SSPX maintains a different position than the papacy, and they say that they're not in schism, they're not excommunicated, and that they're preserving the faith. And so they have a very, very different perspective than the papacy on the matter. But let me read to you the decree. Because y'all know I like going straight to primary sources. This is the decree and the explanatory note. You can see it there in Italian, but I am going to go ahead and read to you a Google Translate version since I don't speak Italian. So I ran it through the Googler, and here's what it says. This was a decree just released today, July 2nd. By the Vatican, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, of course, headed by Cardinal Fernandez. It says, despite the warnings addressed to the Superior General of the Priestly Society of St. Pius X, Bishop Galarreta, having committed an act of a schismatic nature through the episcopal consecration of four priests without a pontifical mandate and against the will of the Supreme Pope, has ipso facto, that is automatically, incurred the penalties provided by Canon 1387 and Canon 1364 of the Code of Canon Law. I therefore declare, for all legal purposes, that both the aforementioned bishop, Bishop Galarreta, and Schreiber, Goldade, Sivri, and Hanapier have incurred automatic excommunication. So ipso facto, the laete sententia excommunication reserved to the Apostolic See. So only Rome can lift it. I further declare that Bishop Bernard Fillet, having directly participated in the liturgical celebration as a co-consecrator, thus publicly adhering to the schismatic act, has incurred the laete sententiae excommunication provided for by Canon 1364 of the Code of Canon Law. So he too has been excommunicated. All of the bishops now are excommunicated. The principal consecrator, the co-consecrator, and the four priests that were consecrated bishops, everyone has been excommunicated. Clerics and lay faithful, so the laity, are warned not to adhere to the schism of the SSPX, because they would ipso facto incur the penalty of automatic excommunication, laete sententiae. So they're saying that if you have a layman who adheres to the schism of the SSPX, they too are automatically excommunicated. You know, does attending once or twice mean you necessarily adhere to the schism? There's going to be a lot of debate there, and most are going to be inclined to say no. But if you accept the ideology, if you're going, you know, regularly, that would be generally considered adhering to the society and therefore an automatic excommunication from Rome's perspective, right? SSPX says, no, that's not the case. There's no automatic excommunication here. Here's why. And they argue canonically, they argue theologically, they have a lot of prepared responses for why they're not in schism. And these have been talking points that they've used since 1988, because this is 1988 all over again, back when Lefebvre and the four men that he consecrated were ordained bishops. You know, Pope John Paul II came out excommunicating them all. And, you know, they had their rationale for it. They had their arguments for it. Rome had its arguments against it. I actually covered it in detail, the history and the theology, here in this course, Crisis and Communion. If you want to get a detailed explanation of the history of the situation, pretty much up until the present, you need to check out this course. It's going to explain to you the history and the theology and the debates behind it all. Crisis and Communion. It's at rtcourses.com. I can't reproduce that entirety, you know, in its entirety here, so I'm going to just refer you to that. But long story short, there is a theological difference here. As Pope Benedict XVI himself said after lifting the excommunication of the four men that Lefebvre consecrated. So there's not just a disciplinary difference. There's not just a liturgical difference. There are theological differences at play here. And that's ultimately why the Vatican and the SSPX were unable to, you know, reconcile at this point. So let me go ahead and read to you the explanatory note here. Let me pull it up. Let's see. Okay. This is the explanatory note released along with the decree excommunicating these men. From the time of St. Paul VI until the most recent discussions held at the Dicastery, numerous attempts to bring the members of the movement initiated by Marcel Lefebvre, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, back into full communion with the Catholic Church have proven futile. This situation has been further aggravated by recent episcopal consecrations celebrated without papal mandate against the will of the Pope, in open violation of canon law. Therefore, the Dicastery, in the faithful exercise of the functions entrusted to it, deems it necessary to note that this act constitutes the crime of schism, with canonical consequences for the sacred ministers and lay faithful involved. Indeed, as already declared in 1988, such disobedience, which entails a practical rejection of the papacy and Roman primacy, constitutes a schismatic act. In this regard, from now on, so in other words, the Vatican is saying by doing this, you're denying papal supremacy, because the Pope has the authority to tell when and when you can't consecrate bishops. By going against him, you're implicitly denying a dogma of the faith. The sacred ministers belonging to the SSPX are in schism and must therefore be considered schismatic. It says, resulting in being subject to the excommunication provided for by law. As regards the lay faithful, those who formally adhere to the SSPX under the conditions established in the explanatory note of the Pontifical Council for Legislative Texts of 1996, still in force with the dicastery, which this dicastery adopts, so it's reaffirming that 1996 decision, are to be considered schismatic and excommunicated. So it gives you kind of the details there, but if you're formally adhering to the SSPX from Rome's perspective, from the papacy's perspective, you're in schism. Finally, the holy people of God are warned that the sacred ministers of the SSPX administer the sacraments illicitly, that is, illegally, and the sacrament of penance, so confession, administered by them, and the sacrament of marriage assisted by them are invalid, not just illicit, invalid. Now, that is a overturning of Pope Francis. You remember, prior to Pope Francis, their marriages and confessions were invalid because the papacy argues those sacraments are tied into valid jurisdiction of a bishop in full communion. I don't know exactly how to explain how it makes sense, because the Eastern Orthodox, according to Rome, have valid marriages and valid confessions, but they're in schism. I have never understood an explanation that says for the SSPX it's invalid, but for the EO it's not valid. I've seen attempts to do so, and I don't know. So it seems like more work maybe needs to be done there by the Magisterium in addressing that point and maybe showing the consistency. Be that as it may. From Rome's perspective, from the papacy's perspective, their marriages and confessions are invalid, not just illicit, invalid. That is, when you go to confession there, your sins are not forgiven. If you're in mortal sin, sins aren't forgiven. You're actually in adultery. You're not actually married. from Rome's perspective. Now, in order to kind of go with the year of mercy theme that Pope Francis had, he went ahead and granted them valid jurisdiction for confessions and in some conditional cases, valid marriages. The SSPX said, well, we didn't need this anyway. We believe our confessions are valid. Our marriages are valid anyway. So from the SSPX's perspective, they didn't need it. From the papacy's perspective, they did. Now that has been repealed. Now that has been revoked. And now that is no longer applicable. From the papacy's perspective, right? SSPX is going to say, we've always had valid confessions and marriages all along. Thanks, no thanks. We don't need your help, the papacy. We don't need your, you granting us some kind of indulgence here on the matter, some kind of extraordinary privileges. We already have valid sacraments. So there's two very different perspectives on it. The church, as a caring mother, it says, will welcome with sincere affection and deep concern all those who wish to return to full communion. So they're saying that, you know, the SSPX is not in full communion, same as the Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, Anglicans, and so on and so forth. Of course, there's degrees and grades to how close a person is to full communion, but they're saying they're not in full communion. The apostolic nuncios will have access to the procedures that ordinaries may use in various cases. Finally, all the faithful, that is the laity, are exhorted to remain firm in communion with the Pope and the bishops in communion with him and with the whole church, and to abstain from participating in celebrations and activities promoted by the SSPX. So they're told to abstain from it, and then they're told if you formally adhere to it, you're in schism. From the Dicastery Building, July 2nd, 2026, Cardinal Fernandez, signed off by a few others, and so on and so forth. And of course, we know it has papal backing as well. So that's pretty much it. Kind of things went as we thought it would go, for better or worse, whether you like the SSPX or not. We kind of knew this was going to play out this way. I do think that moving forward, it's going to be incredibly unlikely that the SSPX will be reconciled with the papacy and the Vatican, because it looks to me like the Vatican has basically said, we've done everything that we can do, but we've told you our essentials. We've told you what is 100% unconditional. The SSPX isn't budging. They're saying, well, we can't agree to that. Well, that's the end of that, right? Unless the SSPX changes, I don't see a way of reconciling. Unless Rome changes. But hey, if Rome changes on this, why can't they change on Eastern Orthodoxy and Oriental Orthodoxy, right? So it seems to me that this is going to solidify and make permanent the division between the papacy and the SSPX, for better or worse. And I think for worse, I think it's sad, because anytime there's disunity like this, it's a bad thing. But I think it's going to be permanent at this point. And before, there was kind of the hope that maybe there could be some use for dialogue and we could, you know, come to some kind of agreement. But that proved to be impossible, because these unconditional conditions, if you will, unconditional points that the Vatican made, for example, adherence to the Second Vatican Council, the SSPX says, we just can't do that. So it's a doctrinal difference. And at that point, you're kind of in the same category as doctrinal differences with other communities. Of course, the SSPX will argue these are not dogmatic differences. And Rome would argue, actually, they are dogmatic differences, because as you saw there, Rome is arguing this is a denial of papal supremacy. Although the SSPX says they hold to papal supremacy, Rome is saying, but you're denying it by not listening to the Pope on who can and can't be consecrated, when and where, and all that. So Rome is saying they are denying a dogma. SSPX is saying they're not denying a dogma. But given that previous talks, dialogues didn't produce that full reconciliation, moving forward, I don't think they're going to. And I think the only way there will be reconciliation is if the SSPX just says, okay, we're abandoning the entire SSPX endeavor, and we're just going to become like the FSSP or something like that. But all the doctrinal contentions and all that, we're doing away with. I just don't see that happening. I just don't. You know, I think there will always be a group of people in the SSPX that say, we're going to maintain this position. You'll have some people in the SSPX that reconcile with Rome, but, you know, you've always had that. I don't know why Google's over there talking to me and said, sorry, something went wrong. Nobody's talking to you. anyways, that completely broke my train of thought here. Okay. By the way, I do want to show something to you because people are already bringing this up, right? Because, look, there is something to be said here. You know, the Vatican is very forceful, very blunt, very direct, very strong, heavy-handed when it comes to the SSPX, but when it comes to other problems in the church, maybe a little less so. I mean, so people are already pointing this out, as I told you they would, and circulating this video where Pope Leo allows for a LGBTQ rainbow cross to be processed into St. Peter's Basilica, even sent a bishop to celebrate the LGBTQ mass in Rome. Look, the SSPX is just going to say, well, look, you got this going on. That justifies what we're doing. Rome is going to say, no, we might have some dialogue. We might have some concessions that we're making to the LGBTQ community, but they're not dogmatic in nature, and what you're doing is dogmatic and schismatic. And so from Rome's perspective, it's different. But they're just already pointing this out. For example, I'm seeing them circulate this clip. It's a very short 15-second clip, but it shows where they're bringing in that rainbow cross. And by the way, I was one of the only people to call that out and say this is wrong. You'll notice all the other Catholic content creators didn't say a word. You'll notice that, right? That's weird. They can talk trash about me. They can slander me. They could be obsessed with me, but they can't say anything when an LGBTQ cross is processed into St. Peter's Basilica. It's weird how selective they are in their outrage. I'm just saying, but yeah, here's that clip. Here you can see it being processed very clearly, LGBTQ cross from Father James Martin's group. They had previously just celebrated an LGBTQ mass in Rome with a bishop sent by Pope Leo. Pope Leo gave them the green light to do this. They go in there with profanity on their clothing, with rainbow flags, holding hands with their partners. And they go in fully welcomed to introduce this into St. Peter's Basilica with not only no rebuke from the papacy, but actually allowance and tolerance for it. So the SSPX is just going to rightly point out and say, hey, this proves our point. There's a, you know, state of emergency in the church that gives us these abilities to go ahead and consecrate people, to preserve the faith, to carry out confessions and marriages. And so from their perspective, this just further solidifies it. And so what happens here is by Pope Leo doing that, he's just reinforced the SSPX in their determination to continue to do what they're doing, instead of kind of maybe addressing the underlying root cause. Why is the SSPX, you know, in this position? Well, they're reacting against a lot of concerns that they have in the church. Some are legitimate concerns. Some are maybe arguably misunderstandings, but some are legitimate concerns. And they, in their mind, think, hey, this is what justifies us doing what we do. Rome says, hey, two wrongs don't make a right. They're thinking this is the right path. But instead of maybe fixing that underlying problem, the underlying issue is further aggravated by stuff like this. So seems to me that both sides could do better in this. And ultimately, who has all the power, who holds all the cards here? Ultimately, Rome does. So Rome could fix the source of the problem. It doesn't. The Pope doesn't excommunicate bishops and priests who are celebrating Pride Masses. He doesn't excommunicate the German heretic schismatic bishops. He doesn't really use that heavy hand with them, which he should, but does with the SSPX. So a lot of people are going to say this just further aggravates the problem. Even if the SSPX isn't right, there's more that the papacy could do to mitigate the damage and maybe even bring about some kind of reconciliation. So be aware, you know, people are going to point that out. They're going to circulate that. And again, people are going to come back and they're going to downplay it. And they're going to say, but that doesn't mean what you're doing is right. That may be true. But the point is, they have some legitimate concerns that need to be addressed. And there's one staring you in the face very recently by Pope Leo the 13th. Okay, so I think I addressed everything there. Just looking briefly here through the chat, somebody saying excommunicate the German bishops. You know, I think if the underlying root problems were addressed more effectively, you would have less reactions to the root problem. You would have less of these instances of something like the SSPX. But when people are seeing that, right, and when they go to their local liturgy and it's as gay as can be, the most effeminate thing that you can be around on average, right? There's exceptions, I'm not saying always. But your average Novus Ordo, you feel like you just have been completely demasculine. What's the word? Demasculinized. Demasculated. You feel like you've been stripped of your manhood. At least I think most heterosexual men would feel that way when they go to your average, not all, your average Novus Ordo. And when you have that kind of experience, that drives a lot of people away from the average liturgy and communion with the Pope. And then they start looking for something else. They start looking for the SSPX. They start looking for Eastern Orthodox, or at the very least, something like the FSSP. That just gives them a different vibe and doesn't give them the same experience. Well, if that underlying root problem was addressed, you know, the way the average Novus Ordo is done, if it was done more by the books, if it was done more traditionally, you wouldn't have those same problems, and there would be less people kind of reacting against this and going elsewhere. Because the Novus Ordo in and of itself, I don't think lends itself to like feminism or some of those problems that you find in your ordinary parish. But it is being used in that kind of way, and that turns a lot of people off. And that's just a conversation that we have to acknowledge, fully admit, and say, look, who has the authority and the duty to change this? The Pope. I haven't seen any papal excommunications for Pride Masses. I haven't seen any papal homilies, papal encyclicals, papal decrees, dicastery decrees on Pride Masses. I've seen very little from Rome in addressing liturgical abuses in the Novus Ordo. It's there. It's there, but very, very little. Whereas you get something like this, it's just so clear cut. Hey, SSPX is excommunicated. Here's the canon, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get that. But it would be good to have that kind of clarity and that kind of discipline and that kind of strength and maybe the underlying root causes, and you would probably have less of these reactionary issues as a result. Okay. Just looking through the chat here, seeing if there's anything to grab. Okay. Still scanning here. A lot of comments. Great. Good to see the participation. Glad to see all that. Okay. Okay. All right. I don't see any questions, but I appreciate all the comments there. I do, again, want to remind you about the course, Crisis in Communion, at rtcourses.com, where I go over the history and the theology of the differences between the Vatican and the SSPX. So if you want a full rundown of the entire conversation, you need to check that out. A good question, what about the German bishops? Well, that's what I've been talking about here today, right? And I'm sure that's what, you know, people who adhere to the SSPX are just going to come out and say, well, look, you excommunicate us, but you don't do that with the German bishops that are outright holding the heresy, clearly in schism, at the very least material schism. And that should be formally decreed by the Pope, right? and they should be excommunicated. But that hasn't been done yet. They've been treated in, I guess, a very different way than the SSPX has. Chinese bishops as well, somebody says. You know, I did have somebody ask, well, why, from Rome's perspective at least, you know, can China consecrate bishops but not the SSPX? From Rome's perspective, the SSPX could consecrate bishops if they had papal approval, but they don't have papal approval. That's the breaking point. Why don't they have breaking approval? Why don't they have this kind of formal approbation from the Pope? Because there are deal breakers, because there are theological differences. Rome would argue there's not theological differences with the Chinese bishops being consecrated. Therefore, they give them, under certain conditions, the ability to consecrate. Whereas Rome argues with the SSPX, there are theological differences that they won't sign off on, and therefore they're not given that approbation. So that's kind of, from Rome's perspective, the difference there. Okay. Trad Beretta says, maybe God will use this to get the German bishops excommunicated. I just don't think that they're going to be, for one reason or another, for better or worse. I just don't think that's going to happen. Even though they've been forcing the Pope's hand, I just haven't seen it, and I don't think we're going to see that. And that's just going to, again, further justify groups like the SSPX, the Eastern Orthodox, the Oriental Orthodox, the Anglicans. I mean, I see the Anglicans using this to kind of justify their position. Okay. The Supreme Leader, Pope, that blessed the block of ice. If you think blessing ice is unusual, you might want to look into history and see some more unusual things that were blessed. Much more unusual than ice. As odd as the ice thing was, there's some stranger things in history. Okay. All right, so I think I may have grabbed everything here. And anyways, let me know what you think about the situation, of course, in the comment section. Love to hear your thoughts. Make sure to subscribe, hit the like button. And of course, you know, just a reminder, try to help me out attempting to get the second channel monetized, or fully monetized, I should say. That is where I can run YouTube ads and stuff like that. And in order to do that, I need like 200 or 300 more watch hours. So just go through a whole bunch of videos on this channel and just binge watch them. Help me out with that. So that way I can do it, because I need that within, I need 4,000 watch hours within 365 days. So the clock is ticking on this. Help me out here. Appreciate it. Especially if you want to see more content on the second channel, I need y'all to, you know, help do your part by watching the content and get me to that perspective. Does this count towards watch hours? It does, but you have to go and binge watch everything else. You need 300 watch hours. All right, that's going to do it for now. Thank you so much. Comment, like, subscribe. And you can, by the way, become a channel member right now for exclusive patron-only content right here on this second channel. You can, that has already happened, so it's been partially monetized. So if you want to get exclusive content, go and check it out now. All right, we'll see you later.